Good morning, Sunburst. If you have your Bible, take it and turn with me to Matthew's Gospel. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. We're going to look at verses 25 through 34. And I want you to look and look at verse 25, look at verse 31, and look at verse 34. And you will see the repetition and the whole thrust of this passage today within the context of the Sermon on the Mount. And you see what is repeated. Verse 25, do not be anxious, or your version may read, stop being anxious. Verse 25, verse 31, stop being anxious. Verse 34, stop being anxious. I did some research this week. You can do it. You know, now we have these computers for phones. But the best research I came up with indicated that in the year just ended, the estimated amount of money nationwide spent on anxiety disorders and depression, this is the conservative end, is going to be somewhere between $9 and $10 billion, with a B, dollars. That's a whole lot of anxiety, isn't it? Whole lot of anxiety medication. And so I think it's helpful for us to look at a passage of Scripture. It's in the context of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And as we touched on last week, the goal in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is not saying, hey, do these things so you can earn a place in heaven. What he's saying is, this is the character of people who have a kingdom perspective. Ultimately, this is the lifestyle of disciples who are controlled and governed and fueled forward by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, in the passage immediately preceding where we're beginning today, verse 25, look at 19 through 24, and really the goal that Jesus has here is to say, look, disciples, serving me rules out serving stuff. Okay, I'll say that again. Jesus says, serving me rules out serving stuff. Now, don't mishear Jesus or misread him. Stuff, possessions, money, not wrong, not evil in and of themselves, but they can be a quick source of idolatry. And Jesus is saying, if you fail to have the right kind of thinking, your whole focus will be completely God-dishonoring. So you see Jesus coming to the end of that previous passage. It's like he's saying, that's why I tell you, failure to see your possessions from a proper perspective will only promote anxiety. I want y'all to see that connection. Because what Jesus reminds us again and again in this particular section of Scripture is that wrong living always is preceded by wrong thinking. And I think at the first of the year, it's appropriate to stop and say, you know what? As I begin this new year, I know time doesn't matter to the Lord. A day is a thousand years and a thousand years is a day. But you and I are time-bound creatures, aren't we? And so the goal is, ideally, that we would say, Lord, I want to start this new slate of months. I want to think the way you want me to think. Now, you've got that repeated command, stop being anxious, stop being anxious. There are some other commands that we'll look at in this passage, but all of them should be subordinated to that threefold command, stop being anxious. And the overarching theme, what Jesus is trying to say to his disciples then and now, is this: assured of God's care. You see, Satan's always trying to remind you of some failure or shortcoming, not only in your life, but then he also is also trying to make you think that God doesn't care and that God will not take care of you. So assured of God's care, what are we to do? We're to pursue his kingdom, his agenda, and we are to conquer anxiety. That's it. Stop being anxious. Now, I think it's interesting. This is an imperative command, not a suggestion. and Jesus is forbidding something that is already going on. Okay? So, I guess by way of application, I'd say if you've never worried, if you've had no anxieties at all this week, then you can just go ahead and check out and work on balancing your checkbook while I'm talking. But I think most of us, if we're honest, we've had a couple of anxious thoughts this week. The text doesn't forbid worry, concern, or careful planning. I want to be sure we're clear about that. The text forbids anxiety, the world's trinity of cares. Well, if we look, moving into this text, Jesus is contrasting, isn't he, the permanent and the passing, right? He's challenging us to be wise investors. And so, therefore, in light of these things, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. Let's look at that word anxious for a moment. It comes from a little Greek word, merimnamo, which means apprehension, worry. Actually comes from a root that means to choke. Isn't that fascinating? That's what anxiety, that's what incessant worry can do. It can choke us. And then notice what Jesus does. You have this almost trinity of earthly cares. Do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? You may have heard the statement, well, food, clothing, and shelter. Or in this case, eat, drink, clothing. But it is fascinating if you think about the amount of time and the amount of energy that we spend thinking about those things. What am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? What am I going to wear? And I would submit to you, you've been around as long as I have, some of you longer, think about modern advertising. It's almost totally predicated on one of those things I just mentioned. You ever thought about that? What are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? And the whole mode of advertising today is to say, you know what? If you just drink this beverage, your life will be better. If you go to this restaurant and eat this food, your life will be better. And if you wear these clothes, and if you look like this and not like that, then your life is going to be better. It will be more. Jesus says all of that is a lie. All of it. All of it. And then notice what he does. The ultimate illustrator, isn't he? What does Jesus do? Stop being anxious. Life is more than what you eat and what you drink and what you put on. Then illustration number one, verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? You see what Jesus is doing here? He's arguing from the lesser to the greater. And by the way, this would offend a lot of people in the leadership of PETA and people for the humane treatment of animals, you know, and everybody that loves their dogs and worships their animals. You see what Jesus says? I made the birds, and you're more valuable to me than birds. Substitute dog, canine, anything non-human. Biblically, that's what Jesus is saying. You get it? Look at these birds. Y'all ever driven down the road and you're stopped at a red light and it's a cold day and you see those birds on the power lines? And you think, they're not worried about anything. There's, you know, thousands of electrical currents flowing through those power lines. They're not worried about that, are they? But think about what Jesus is saying here. Look at these birds. They don't get up in the morning and think, huh, what's the menu going to be today? They just rest in the providence of God, don't they? Isn't life more, which would expect a positive answer in verse 25, life here referring primarily to your physical existence on this earth. Birds don't plan their menu. Birds don't gather into barns. And Jesus says, but I take care of them. And you are of much more value than the birds of the air. You see what Jesus is doing? He's saying, think. This is how Jesus thinks, and he wants to teach us the proper way to think. One writer calls it gospel logic. I like that. Look at a situation, look at a circumstance in your life, and look at it through the lens of gospel logic. What God has said, what the Son of God has said, what the Son of God has done. But then it gets even better. Jesus says, well, not only look at the birds, but look at the lilies. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to a span of life? Well, here we see the complete lack of productivity, of worry, of anxiety. You've probably heard the statistics. What is it? Over 95% of the things we worry about never come to fruition. Maybe it's more. Can that add a single hour to a span of life? Will it add a single second? No. If anything, it takes away. Doesn't add to one's stature. Doesn't help in any way. And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Once again, lesser to greater, look at it. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Look at what Jesus is doing. He's saying if you are plagued or paralyzed by worry, then really it's a lack of faith, a lack of confidence on God on your part. You are sinning against the Lord who has said, I won't abandon you, I will take care of you, I will sustain you. Consider the lilies. Well, human beings have a claim on God's provision that animals do not. The Lord is our King, and if we know Him, we're children of the King. And Jesus is saying the Lord dresses the flowers of the field in garments more beautiful than the greatest expenditure of money on Solomon's part could secure. But it is fascinating. I was listening to a Scottish preacher this last week talk about how we get so caught up in external appearance and clothing. And he was saying in that unique Scottish accent, you know, it's amazing how so many people are emboldened by a swoosh on their shoes. Speaking of Nike footwear, does Nike swoosh, whether it's on a pair of shoes or on a shirt, just that one emblem becomes a sign of not only acceptance, but success and power, and most importantly, acceptance. But do you see what Jesus is saying here? You look up in the sky and you see these birds, and the Lord takes care of them. You look through the external things that people have on, their clothing, and you see that real contentment is not about either one of those. And anxiety is ineffective, isn't it? It doesn't add to our stature. It doesn't add years to our life. Jesus says, children of the kingdom are of greater value than the birds of the air, and certainly the clothes you wear. I mean, think about it today. The whole insurance business, some of you have been engaged in that. It's a noble profession, done rightly. But even physical human insurance, in one way, is an expression of that fundamental insecurity. You can't take it with you. And so we want to insure physically, and that's a wise thing to do, but even the things we insure, they've got a shelf life, don't they? And so Jesus is saying, hey, think with gospel logic. We have this obsession today, and you know what? I don't think it stops when you're 40 or 50. In fact, maybe it increases. We have this obsession. What am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? Maybe it's even more intensive because we're dealing with health issues and we have to be more careful about those things, right? But we're concerned about, well, how do I look and what do people think about me? What about my appearance? What are other people saying about me? You know, the longer you live, the more you realize that when you think people are saying stuff about you, the fact is they're probably not thinking about you at all. There's the first, don't be anxious. Look at the second one, verses 31 through 33. Stop being anxious at all. Therefore, do not be anxious saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles, the word there, ethne, speaks of the ethnicities, the nations, seek after these things. We might use the term pagans, people that have no interest in the things of God. One of the defining characteristics of people who aren't pursuing the Lord Jesus, who aren't pursuing His kingdom, is their obsession and their preoccupation with what they're going to eat, what they're going to drink, and what they're going to wear. Now, don't walk out of here and say, McKellar said you shouldn't plan your next meal or try to look decent and presentable in public. I'm not saying that. I'm saying if the bulk of your time day by day is spent on what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, and what you're going to wear, you've got a problem. And if that offends you, take it up with Jesus, not with me, okay? Well, it is a Gentile obsession. The masses, the polytheists. Jesus is saying, don't think like somebody that doesn't know the Lord. That dishonors the Lord. If you put your treasure in a place of insecurity, then you've just written your own recipe for anxiety. Now think about it. What is the essence of this anxiety Jesus is talking about? Well, it can spring from unbelief. I'm going to worry and fret because I really don't believe God's going to provide. It can spring from a lack of submission. Well, I want this to happen, and I don't think the Lord is going to make it happen in the time frame I want, so I'm going to take matters into my own hands. Or it can spring from what we might call basic worldliness. That is, I know the Lord does not want me to spend my time or my resources on this thing or in this area, but I'm going to do it anyway because it makes me happy. All those things contribute to anxiety. Well, why should we not have this anxiety? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. You see, it's all about your view of the Lord. Now, it's not right for you and me to say, okay, I'm going to get up in the morning and I'm going to do nothing. I'm going to be a bump on a log, and the Lord's just going to have to poof things into my life. That's irresponsible. But on the other hand, it's equally irresponsible to say, well, if it's to be, it's up to me, you know? No, the believer says, Lord, you've called me to pursue you above all things. And that means I'm going to think like you want me to think. I'm going to work. I'm going to be diligent as unto the Lord. And so the Father's knowledge of what you need and what I need, you know, it's not like He's this impotent, incapable figure in the sky. He's capable of supplying all of our needs. That's what Paul wrote to the Philippians. My God shall supply all your needs. How? According to His riches in Christ Jesus. All right? So now, when Jesus has laid this out, He's going to give us the antidote. Okay? All right. If I am to stop worrying, what is the antidote? What is the remedy? How is it that I can stop thinking and processing life like people who don't even know God? Well, it's a prioritized pursuit. Look at verse 33. But seek first, not a suggestion, But seek first. The word first gives us the word proton. First, your greatest priority, the kingdom of God. Well, what on earth is the kingdom of God? Well, you've probably heard the kingdom described as past, present, and future. God has come. God has broken through into history, revealed himself. God is coming. Jesus, in his earthly ministry, said what? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And the kingdom is coming. We read that one day Christ will come again to judge the quick and the dead, past, present, and future. It is the rule. It is the reign of God. And Jesus says, care most about the rule and the reign of God. And you'll be startled to the degree with which you will be delivered from anxiety. So let me just ask myself and ask you, how much time have you spent recently thinking about the rule and the reign of God? That is, you want Jesus to be known and loved and cherished not only by you and your loved ones, but by as many as people, many people as possible this side of heaven. Value your relationship with the Lord and value the kingdom work of God more than you value anything else. Keep on seeking first the rule of God, and then notice, and his righteousness. One writer put it like this, our obsession must be the reign of God and the rules of God. What are the rules of God? Well, that's scripture. Thinking like God wants me to think. I need to be laser focused in whatever time God has left for me on this earth. I want to be obsessed with his reign. I want to be obsessed with his rules. Look at it again. Verse 33. But here's your replacement therapy. One writer calls it the aerodynamic principle that helps the believer soar. Lord, I want to put your concerns, your agenda, your will ahead of my own. His rule and his rules. Or to put it another way, Lord, your authority and my obedience to that. Righteousness. What is righteousness? Well, it is a standard of consistency. Who defines righteousness? God defines righteousness. His righteousness. We have a righteousness in Christ which is not our own, don't we? That's part of being a believer. We come empty-handed. We can't be good enough, but we have in Christ a righteousness we receive that we live out by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we yield to King Jesus. Y'all remember Johnny Rivers wrote a song in the early 70s. Some of you were teenagers then. Remember what he sang? I can see clearly now. The rain is gone. Yeah. It's going to be a bright, bright, sunshiny day. Well, I think as we come to this part in the text, it's kind of like the clouds move away and the sun comes out. And look at what Jesus says in verse 34. Therefore, stop being anxious about tomorrow. And he's using tomorrow here as a metaphor for the future. Each day will have enough reasons for anxiety in and of itself. Don't you love the realism of Jesus? He doesn't say, just trust me and you'll never struggle. Just trust me and you'll never have a problem. He acknowledges the fact that in this world you will have what? Tribulation. In this world there will be troubles and there will be some waiting on you in the morning when you wake up. What does Jesus say? Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. You see, anxiety in my life is a sign that my treasure has been misplaced. I am not promised another day, am I? Remember James 4, 13 through 17. Come now, you say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a place and we will engage in business and we will make a profit. Do you not know that your life is but a vapor but a mist? That's James going all the way back to the Proverbs. What does Jesus say? Certainly you plan for the future. Certainly you want to be a wise steward. But you also have to live in the now. And there's no guarantee on tomorrow. And so you want to be, I want to be dominated, obsessed, right? With the reign of God and the rule of God. In the end, relentless gospel logic silences the illogical thinking of pagan living. And so for you and me, this new year is an opportunity to seize the present privileges we have, right? And to remember that this God who creates is also the God who's capable of sustaining. And another thing, all this stuff about the kingdom, seek first the kingdom. Jesus saying, repent for the kingdom is at hand. John the Baptist before him, what goes hand in hand with repentance, with repent? Well, I would say it's the word refreshment. What refreshes our lives? When I get by the power of the Holy Spirit, when I get my thinking right, when I acknowledge before the Lord, Lord, that's the wrong kind of thing. I'm thinking like a pagan. I'm thinking in my head like people who don't even know you. And so, Lord, I want to change directions. That's repentance. And you see, the Christian life is an ongoing daily repentance, isn't it? Lord, by nature, I'm inclined to think my own thoughts, to go my own way, to do my own thing. But Lord, as I get up this morning, I want to turn away from that, repent of that kind of thinking, and I will be refreshed by your heavenly biblical perspective. When I was in college, I remember learning a song, Praise the Lord, He Never Changes. Life is moving faster than it ever has today. What tomorrow brings us isn't certain anyway. So many paths to choose from, don't know which way to run. It seems that every road leads nowhere, every road except for one. Praise the Lord, He never changes. He's never any other way. And He'll be the same tomorrow that He was and He is today. Hebrews 13:8. The same yesterday, today, yes, and forever. If that is true, then man, I need to make such a beeline, just a sprint to the place in my thinking and spiritually where I'm saying, Lord, your reign and your rules, that's really all that matters. I think another thing that comes from this passage is it's good to ask ourselves the questions when we're burdened by things, bummed out by things, to ask yourself, just how important will this be to me in a million years? That's a good question to ask. You're going to spend eternity somewhere, and I am too. How important is what you're presently anxious about? How important will that be a million years from now? Probably not very important at all. During the college football playoffs, they have some great commercials. Did y'all see the Geico commercial this week? You know, the Geico Gecko. It caught my attention. He's talking about life insurance, and it's very effective. He says, don't go on tossing your hard-earned coin in the 3-foot pool of disappointment. Isn't that a great idea? That's a challenge for me, and I hope for you. Don't spend whatever time God has left for you tossing your resources in the 3-foot pool of disappointment. That doesn't honor God. That brings anxiety to you, and it's certainly not a glowing testimony to other people. Just remember that thinking like Jesus wants us to think, gospel logic, that's what silences the voice of anxiety. And so, 3 times the reminder, stop being anxious, stop being anxious, stop being anxious. Why? Your Father cares for you. Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, you know I need to hear it. My friends need to hear it. Lord, forgive us for our anxieties, which are a result of our misplaced values. And Lord, grant that in these days ahead, we would think like you want us to think, with relentless gospel logic for your glory, so that as a result, your Son, the Lord Jesus, will be magnified and honored and glorified in all of our lives. This we pray in his name. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. Lord, makes his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lord, lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Have a great rest of the day.